This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.
What's up, everybody? Jack Maloney here with Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Praxis, and Basketball Network. We're here to do our season preview podcast. I got Matt Cianfrone and Zach Oliver, my guys, with me tonight. We're about to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. So last year, obviously, I mean, tremendous surprise. They went 41-41, finished sixth in the East, and gave the Bulls a run for their money in the first round. They lost a lot of veteran leadership with Jared Dudley, Zaza, Ersan Ilyasova moving along. But their big signing, Greg Monroe, they brought in. They also picked up Grievous Vasquez in a trade with the Raptors and signed Chris Copeland, kind of replacing the veterans a little bit there. In the draft, they got Rashad Vaughn, really young kid out of UNLV, who didn't really play for UNLV too much because he got injured. But he's supposed to be a great shooter. Had a decent time out in Las Vegas. So yeah, we're about to jump into this about the Bucks. A lot to talk about with this team. So I guess we'll just start with Greg Monroe. That's the big news for Milwaukee. It's like they said, it's a new day in Bucks basketball. That's what the owners were saying the other day at media day, and that's, I mean, Greg Monroe's not a superstar, but compared to people who want to play in Milwaukee before, like, I mean, they used to be great if they could sign, like, an over-the-hill Richard Jefferson, or, like, they brought in, like, a 33-year-old Corey Maggette, and now you got Greg Monroe about to enter his prime. Like, this, I mean, this is a whole new operation here.
Yeah, I mean, who would have ever thought Milwaukee would be grabbing a player that the Knicks actually wanted? That was the most amazing part of it. The Knicks wanted Greg Monroe, and he decided to go play for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And obviously there are other factors there, but that's a big deal. And now it's just trying to figure out how it fits. Theoretically, it should. I mean, the Bucks have the defensive potential to cover his mistakes, but we'll kind of see as the season goes along. We were talking before this. I expect to see John Henson closing out plenty of games just because of his defensive versatility and his impact over Monroe. But if everything goes right, you assume at the end of the year Monroe was in that big games for the Bucks with some big late baskets out of the post.
Yeah, you know, the thing that worries me about the Bucks, I think that they've got the potential to be, you know, maybe as high as like a 5 seed in the East. That would be probably top end this year,
mm-hmm.
but they could also end up finishing, you know, 11th or 12th, because I don't know if they're going to be able to score enough consistently. You know, sure, they added Monroe, who's gonna help. Chris Middleton's shooting will be big, but you look at Carter Williams, he's not a great scorer, period. Henson's kind of a flatliner there. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from Jabari Parker. It's going to take another step forward, but how much will he improve as a scorer? Right. I think those are a couple of the storylines to kind of look at with this Bucks team. You know, look, they'll be great defensively again, even with Monroe, because they've got really good defenders on the wings. Carter Williams can use his length against anybody. Giannis is longer than the state of Wisconsin, I think. Middleton's a good defender on the wing. Miles Plumlee is still there. I think he's a decent defender off the bench. You know, Matt mentioned Henson, and so they've got some pieces. It's just, can they score enough points? That's what I'm not sure about with Henson.
Yeah, and they definitely, they struggled at times in the beginning of the season, but once they made that trade for Carter Williams, losing Brandon Knight, and I mean, I understand why they did it. They weren't going to give big money to Brandon Knight, and you have Carter Williams under control. for a few years. And so, like, I understand why they did that, but they were not great after that trade. Like, 30 of their wins came before the All-Star break. And so, I don't know exactly what the record was, but they were a much better team, definitely offensively, with Brandon Knight running the show. And so that, it's another one of those things, like, you look at this team and see so much optimism, and, like, being from Milwaukee, like, I want to see that too. But I definitely can see how you look at this team and see obvious holes that I don't think they're going to make another huge jump like they did last year.
And I think the move, you know, maybe he wasn't great for them last year, but the skill set that he brought to the table was important. I think not having Ersan Ilyasova around is going to be a big blow, because his floor spacing is really valuable for those guys. Because, look, Carter Williams isn't a good shooter. Giannis has the potential to be a good shooter, but he's too inconsistent. Jabari's not a great shooter. You know, you've got Monroe down in the post, and then you've got Middleton as your only shooter. You know, the floor is going to be so compact. Yeah. You know, how can Carter Williams, how can Giannis, how can Jabari get to the paint?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the problem that I think, you know, holding on to Ilyasova would have helped some. But also, if they hadn't traded Brandon Knight, then I don't think the issue would have been as big either, because Knight was a really good three-point shooter. And as you were saying, Jack, he really helped that offense last year. So I think they're still trying to learn a little bit from that and not having his offense in the lineup as well.
Yeah, I think you touched on the big thing. It's the skill set, because they went from when they were at their best, when they were winning a bunch of games, they had Nutty and Ilyasova. Like, they always had three shooters on the floor.
And
when they were at their
too.
Best, you know, closing games and stuff, they had three shooters. They had Knight, they had Ilyasova, they had Middleton. And you got away with that. You know, you could score enough points to make the Henson, Middleton, Giannis, you know, length combinations of death work. And now you don't have that. Now you have the length. You could throw out lineups with Carter Williams and Middleton and Giannis and Henson, but you don't have any shooting. You know, you went from three shooters to that you can rely on to knock down threes to one, and teams are obviously going to know Middleton is the one guy they have to worry about, not leave him. So where does that extra spacing and shooting come from?
Yeah, it's, you know, they talked about, Jason Kidd and Hammond both talked about on Media Day, like, that it's still going to be a learning process, that, you know, you won 41 games last year, but, like, they kind of overachieved. Like, I don't think anyone, even, like, inside the organization, thought they were going to be that successful last year. Like, this is still a team that's, like, at least two years away from being any sort of real threat. And that's offensively where you find the points in scoring is definitely one part of that. I mean, OJ off the bench can provide some spacing. I don't know if you go to Grievous late in games for his, you know, just veteran poise and ability to shoot a little bit. But yeah, it's really going to be a work in progress the first few months, really, with bringing Jabari back. We don't know how well, if he's going to just be able to play right away. And that first few months offensively, it's going to be really interesting to watch. I mean, I like this team. They're going to be so much fun, but yeah, it's, I wouldn't be like expecting another jump to like the 50 win mark. I think that's out of reach for them.
Yeah,
I know that over unders were posted yesterday. I know Matt Moore had that for CBS. Do either one of you guys know what that over under was for Buck win?
I want to say it was 43.5. Yeah, and that's one, like, completely stay away. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'd run far away from that. Like you said, you know, they were they overachieved a lot, and they also got so lucky last year. And I wonder how much, if Chris Middleton shot against the Suns or the Heat doesn't go down, and the Bucks finished last year under 500 instead of 500, like, I wonder how much different the outlook on this team would be. Would people still think 50 wins is realistic, or would they go, well, they were under 500, maybe 45, 42, 45 is more realistic. And it's so interesting to think about that, because like you, I think honestly expecting anything over 45 would be a massive surprise to me.
Oh yeah,
because you're gonna have so many adjustments to make, just incorporating Monroe into things and Grievous into things. Like, these guys who are brand new and are going to be expected to play important roles, you have to figure out how to play with them. You have to figure out how to best use them in the offense and the defense. That's going to take some time, and I think they get off to a rough start, because then even Jabari, who barely played last year,
right,
has to be fit back into things. So I kind of expect them to get off to a bad start and then turn it on at the end of the year. And they also, the other thing that's tough for them is, out of all the Eastern Conference divisions, they probably play in, like, Cleveland's obviously the best team in the East. Chicago, 5 team in the East. Indiana and Detroit are going to compete for that, or potentially could compete for that 8 seed. The Central's actually kind of tough.
Yep.
I think that the Southeast is probably the better division in the East, and I think it's close, because obviously you probably have the best team in the East in Cleveland, and then you probably have, a team in like that 3-4 range in Chicago. But then you look at the Southeast, you have the Hawks, who won the most games in the conference last year. You have Washington, who's going to continue to get better. You have Miami, who's getting Chris Bosh back and probably has the best depth that they've had in God knows how long. Charlotte, I'm a lot higher on Charlotte, I think, than a lot of people are. I think they have a potential to be fighting for that 8 seed. And then the Magic have a lot of young talent. And
yeah,
I don't think the Magic are going to be in the playoff hunt. I think they finish in, like, the low 30s win-wise, but they're going to be a tough team to play.
Yeah.
You know, the Bucks division isn't a slouch by no means, but I think that you could make a case for the Southeast as well. But I'm looking at their schedule right now. They get the Knicks twice in the first week. Then they get Washington, Toronto. They get the Nets twice. Philadelphia. They have some winnable games early in the year. If they can get some of those wins, I think that's going to be a key to kind of springboard them, because once you hit, November 14th, you have a stretch of home against Cleveland, at Washington, at Cleveland, at Indiana, versus Detroit. I mean, that right there is probably the toughest stretch that they face in the first month. And that could really define how their first half of their season is going to go, I think.
Yeah, they last year were they were only 9-27 against teams 500 and better. Like, they just beat up on really bad teams. Like, they won 32 games against below 500 teams.
And I was making this point before we started recording. I think that as a whole, the Eastern Conference got better.
Yeah, way better. Like, the Knicks were a joke last year, and they're probably going to win at least 30 games.
The Knicks could be the 8 seed this year.
Like, I don't see anyone really in the East. Like, I feel like everyone in the East got better except for teams that were already ahead of the Bucks. Like, besides maybe the Nets. Like,
I mean, the Nets and maybe the Pacers got worse.
Yeah, but
you lose David West, you lose Hibbert.
Like,
Paul George helps, but at the same time, you're losing two pretty important players there. But yeah. You look at the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia got better.
Yeah.
Knicks got better. Toronto, I like I want to think Toronto got better. I don't know how much of an impact Damari Carroll's going to have there. I think he was in a perfect situation in Atlanta. I think that really helped
him. Like, they're certainly not worse.
Right.
Yeah, the Bucks. I mean, I don't think the Bucks missed the playoffs, but I think expecting anything better than, you know, like, they were six last year. I think I really don't see any way they jump any of the five teams ahead of them. You know, maybe they can get into fifth if everything goes right, but I honestly think, like, another season like they had last year where you're around 500 and you make it really tough for somebody in the first round is another good season. Like, I know Matt was saying before, like, and we talked about it with the Pelicans, this team isn't going to win a championship this year or next year or probably in 2 years. But it's just about the process of getting better. And I think the team certainly understands that. I don't know if fans are necessarily thinking in that way and, you know, that everyone wants to win a championship every year. But it does seem like the organization is aware of their place and aware of the team that they have and that this is so young. Like, it's going to be a building process even, you know, no matter how much you got better. Like, you're still growing and learning every day. Like, it's a great place to be in, but I can't see them being much better than last year.
And another storyline, you know, something to kind of watch, how does Jason Kidd improve as a coach? Because he's going into his third full year. I mean, that's probably a pretty key year, especially with a young team like the Bucks. Yeah. You know, you need to see him continue to improve as a coach, too. And, you know, that's what I think is going to help them take that next step. Because coaching's 60, 65% of the game. Because if you don't have a coach who's going to put you in positions to be successful, then, you know, unless you have a guy like LeBron James or Kevin Durant, you're not going to have one guy that you can just say, all right, make us successful. So if Kidd can continue to improve, then the Bucks, you know, they'll probably hang around that 500 mark again. Maybe they'll win 42, 43 games, but I think that they could easily improve, you know, some from last season.
Yeah,
I mean, as a Bucks fan, I say, like, and I'm perfectly okay if they only win, you know, 38, 40 games this year, but we see some type of actual growth. Like, the offense climbs up to an offense that's, like, towards the middle of the pack, you know, that top 15 area of offensive efficiency, and we see an actual plan and way Michael Carter-Williams fits in, and Giannis starts making threes again. I'll be happy even if we lose more games than we did last year, because you have to see it. You don't become a title team without being at least close to a top 10 offense and top 10 defense. And we need to see the Bucks start moving in that direction for me to be really happy. And the other thing I hope to see is the Bucks play the Pelicans close again, because we had this offseason and it kind of got lost in a lot of things. You know, Anthony Davis came out and said that when they were playing, Giannis was talking trash to him. And it feels like all those, like, those player rivalries we've had are starting to not go away, but it's older guys that are starting to get old. So, like, having Anthony Davis and Giannis and the young Bucks and the young Pelicans become that kind of cross-division or cross-conference rivalry could be a lot of fun for a lot of years. So I hope they play two more. They played two really competitive games last year. Anthony Davis and Giannis were both great in at least one of them. So I wouldn't mind to see that again to kind of get this little rivalry going.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, those two dudes are like the longest players in like NBA history. You guys have any final thoughts as we wrap things up on the Bucks?
Yeah, I'm interested to see what kind of improvements they made. You know, the offense is the big key, as Matt was mentioning, as I mentioned earlier, because, you know, we know that they have the pieces to be good defensively. They showed it last year. Can they take that step forward offensively? And, you know, I think they're a playoff team. I have them as one of my six or seven locks in the Eastern Conference. But, you know, if things start to pile up and something, you know, they could be an injury away from being outside of the playoff run. So it's going to be a really interesting year for the Bucks, and I'm excited to watch some Bucks basketball. And most importantly, we get Gus Johnson calling games.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't even talk about that.
So that gives him a peg up on the lead pass alert. So that'll be fun. Also, I just want to say congrats to our good friend Eric Benning on his spot with the Bucks as social media guy. Well deserved. Eric's a great guy, so really happy and excited for him.
Yeah, Eric's an awesome. Echo that. Eric's an awesome dude, and he should do a great job there. And like you said, Gus with Giannis, you know, streaking down the court and throwing down a dunk is gonna be great. So as long as Michael Carter Williams, it'd be nice if he could magically learn to shoot. It's going to make playing with the Bucks in 2K way easier. But outside of that, I'm excited for this season. There's a lot of things to be excited about. But after following this team through, you know, I mean, I've been a Bucks fan since that 0-1 playoff series against the Sixers when Ray Allen kind of made me fall in love with the NBA. But that meant coming through some terrible years and things like rooting for John Salmons in the playoffs. So having a young, exciting team is a lot of fun, so I'm ready to get this season started.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out Eric. Shout out the Bucks for hiring him. We got an alum in the league now. Friendly Bounce has got a player drafted, free agent signing, I guess. But yeah, this team's gonna be so much fun to watch with Giannis and Jabari and company. We kind of covered everything, but I'm super excited for this Bucks team. I'm going to be great to see what they look like with Monroe and Gus Johnson, of course. I can't wait till he drops a knuck if you buck. Gus, if you're listening, you better be dropping one of those this year. He's probably not listening, but you never know. I think that's a wrap on the Bucks. I'm Jack. That's my guys, Matt and Zach. Here's our guy, DJ Las Latino, playing us out. Catch you guys later. Peace.
This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.